Good morning. Let me call to order the November 2nd meeting of the Core MPO Board. The November 2nd, 2022 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The Core MPO is holding an in-person meeting with the virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, today's agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by the staff, other business, status report on current projects activity, information reports, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and then adjournment. For each agenda item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comments section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. Our first order of business is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Properly motion and second that the agenda be approved. Are you ready for the question? Hearing no questions, we're ready for the vote. Please state who you are and your vote.
Start Robert Miley, Thunderbolt, yes.
Okay. Les Fussell, Richmond Hill, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Don Gillen, yes.
Bradney Simpson, yes.
Beta Massimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Iolo, yes.
All right.
Tom Hutchinson, yes.
The approval of the agenda. At this time, we will have committee reports verbally, and let us start with ACAP. Asia.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning.
My name is Asia Hernton, and I will be giving the ACAP report on behalf of Pamela Oglesby, the ACAP chairwoman. So ACAP met in October, and we did not have a quorum, so we were unable to vote on the action items.
Okay. CAC, Jermaine. I'm sorry, that's Jasmine. I'm sorry. Morning.
The CAC committee met and they did endorse all of the action items that we have today.
Thank you. EDFAC, Pam.
The EDFAC committee did meet on October 20th and we went through mostly updates. I don't think we had a quorum, but I don't think we had any action items either. So.
Uh-huh. Now the TCC.
Okay. TCC met on October 20th, and we went through a similar agenda to what we have today. All of our action items were endorsed by the committee.
And the executive director's report.
Ms. Wilson is not here today, but there were no items that she wanted to report on.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. As we move along, let us get the approval of the August 24th meeting minutes. May I have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Properly motion and second that the approval of the August 24th, 2022 meeting minutes be adopted with all necessary corrections. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name and your vote.
Les Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Radney Simpson, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
Bob Miley, yes.
All right, thank you. Now we go to the approval of the 2023 Corp MPO meeting calendar. Go bring that up on the screen.
Yes, sir. I'll pull that up for you. This is the proposed 2023 meeting calendar that was presented to each one of the committees prior that they've endorsed. So it's up asking for your approval today.
All right. Is there a motion to approve?
Move, Chairman.
Second.
Properly motion and second that the approval of the 2023 Core MPO meeting calendar be adopted. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name.
Tanya Hilton, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
John.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Radney Simpson, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
Bob Miley, yes.
Yes.
All right, thank you. So therefore, the calendar is approved. Next on the agenda will be the Core MPO Y301 Transportation Alternatives TA call for projects.
I'll be giving that presentation, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
So the Y301 funding was most recently authorized by Congress in 2021 as a set aside of the Surface Transportation Block Grant, which provides funds to states and localities for transportation improvement projects. Core MPO manages the Y301 funds allocated in the Savannah area and hosts a call for projects at least every 4 years. The call for projects can also be conducted as needed if the priority projects with awarded STBG funds have been completed and additional funds become available. The expected available funds are $2.9 million and will be allocated from the fiscal year 2023 to fiscal year 2027. So the MPO conducted a call for projects for Y301 throughout September. And I'm just going to go through some of the projects that we went through for that call for projects. So we received 5 applications for the Y301 funds. All of them were deemed eligible. We did receive 1 application after the deadline, but we determined to accept that application due to a previous discrepancy in the deadline, which may have led applicants to submit the applications on the wrong date. We gave a presentation of these projects and the financial information to all of the committees, including the TCC. And the TCC voted to approve the rankings, which I will show on the Excel sheet later. And then also to approve the first 2 fiscal years of funding for Y301. And then also approved allocating funds in subsequent years according to revenue projections. And we will revisit this topic during future TIP development. So these are the rankings. Many of them are very close, within less than 1 point of each other. And then this is the financial information that was approved at the TCC.
All right, any questions from board members? Okay. We need to move for approval, right? Okay, so may I have a motion to approve the report and to approve the project? Yes.
Make the motion to approve the report.
Second.
Probably motion and second that the Y301 report be accepted. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name. Starting far to my left.
Dr. Bash, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Rodney Simpson, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
All right.
Bob Miley, yes.
Okay. Do we have that list of that lifted I saw yesterday of in the staff report? I think it's under section 4. I think at the very back there's a list of no, that's not it.
But Chairman, I think section 4 is the next agenda item, Y230 funds.
All right, those reports we talked about yesterday?
Yes.
Have been submitted?
Yes. Aisha just talked about the sections 3.
Okay.
That's the Y301 funds. And we did talk to you about we have enough funds from both resources to cover all the requests.
Right. Okay. But that one that what I'm getting to, Akota, is that one that we talked about yesterday where there's some questions about
the Green Island. Okay, yeah, actually
comes up later.
Yeah, actually Chatham County is here, so I will ask Chatham County to give some explanation because the chairman raised the question. He said the Green Island is actually you have to have a motor boat to right. Get to the island. So that the trail doesn't serve anybody. So I will ask Chatham County staff to give some clarifications on that.
Let me make sure I'm on the right page. That's a part of this report that you just given.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, that's what we need to see. I think all of us need to know the information I got yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Because Green Island, Chatham County applied for both funds for the Green Island Trail Project. So I will ask Pam or Nathaniel to give some explanation on that one.
All righty.
We brought up the map over here so you can see.
Okay, good.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So the Green Island Multipurpose Trail is actually giving consideration to do design work on a trail from Diamond Causeway to the end of Green Island Road. It would not involve anything with the purchase of Green Island Trail on Green Island. This is solely looking at a multipurpose trail along Green Island Road. And you can, in the map, you can see Diamond Causeway. I think it's a little over 2.7 miles. Is that right, Pam? So this is not, while it's called the same, we're calling it Green Island Multipurpose Trail because it's adjacent to Green Island Road.
Okay. The question that came to me yesterday was, is Green Island accessible by walking or driving or biking?
Green Island itself, the actual Green Island is not accessible by walking or biking, but the Green Island Trail is on Skidaway Island.
Mr. Chairman, for further clarification, I think the project you're talking about, there are two separate projects. One, they call it the same thing, but one is the island and the other one is the trail that goes down Green Island Road. So I think we got that clarification.
Okay, the trail's on.
So the trail is on Green. All right, here's where the confusion is, okay, and we need to straighten it out,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Somewhere in here, I think what, and Wakota, straighten me out if I got the numbers wrong. It's about $390,000 that we're talking about.
Yes, Chatham County did request $395,000 for Green okay. Island Trail project.
Since that request came in, they don't know it's two different projects. And what they're talking about is if it's going to be a trail where biking and walking, folks got to be able to access it. But if you're talking about putting a trail on the island where folks got to get on by a boat, seeing I couldn't explain it yet.
Yeah,
okay.
And we got clarification yesterday that they're okay. Two separate projects.
All right.
And Mr. Panther, can you talk about the connectivity along that whole corridor? Because we've got a bike trail that's been proposed, and I asked Mr. Panther to go over that.
Yeah, so right now along Diamond Causeway coming out of the landings, they have essentially, I'll call it a multi-purpose trail. I think it was constructed back then as a golf cart path.
Okay.
But essentially what our project would do would tie into that. So this would give the folks that live along Green Island Trail an accessible trail that they could get from their residential area up to the commercial area. And then that would get them to the State Park Road. Now, there's no pedestrian facilities on State Park Road, but that would give them the opportunity that they could get to State Park Road and then go into the state park as well. So it's just an extension, like Mr. Kegler said, of adding connectivity out on Skidaway Island and trying to separate the pedestrians from the road users. Because right now, if you're on Green Island Road, you have to walk on the road. There's no pedestrian.
You're in the traffic.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And one of the things I think, you know, as staff, we'll do is we need to call those projects separate things.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's my point for wanting to bring that up today. We have to do a separate identifying. All right. Because Green Island is one thing and Green Island Trail is another thing that we're talking about. All right. So, but yesterday it was all together.
Gotcha.
I couldn't tell them it was two different.
Okay.
All right. So therefore we need to relabel it. All right. And put something else in there so that folks know we're talking about two different things. All right.
If we call it the Green Island Road Trail on Skidaway Island, that might differentiate it.
Whatever we need to do to separate it so that we don't run into a problem later. Okay. All right. You don't want to spend that money and then the feds come and say, this wasn't eligible, y'all give us our money back. All right. Because I don't have any money to give back. Okay. So that's why I want to make sure today. That's why I said to them as we met yesterday, make sure we get the clarification and make sure this board knows that what they're voting on that stands in place, because I'd hate to pass the hat and collect money. All right. So y'all understand where I'm coming from. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Another thing, I think the chairman had a question was with the Middle Ground Road. We also pull up the map, the Tied to Town. As you can see, Tied to Town is a big trail system, and Middle Ground Road is only part of it. So City of Savannah is applying for funds just to implement the Middle Ground Road. So I just want to show you this Tied to Town is a bigger system than just the Middle Ground Road, the Tied to Town.
But in the information you gave me yesterday, the question came up because it talks only about the Middle Ground Road, and then the information in the T-Splash is for Middle Ground Road. Are we talking about the same thing? Are we talking about the same monies going for the same path? Are we talking about different ones? We need to clarify those things.
Yeah, I think even if City of Savannah put the Middle Ground Road on the T-Splash, that might be for the construction money or the match for the construction money. What they're requesting now is just to start the project. Is $880,000 just to start a project. So they probably will need more money. So T-Splash might provide local match for future construction funds.
Okay. Well, they're going to need to clarify that though, based upon what I was getting yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, and you all have to understand now, when you're putting these things on here, you got to make sure you clarify what you're doing, because we don't want to run into no problems with the feds right now, all right?
Yeah, yeah. What I mean is, like Tied to Town, I'm showing over to you.
I see. Yeah. Listen, I know Tied to Town is supposed to cover the whole county, all right?
Yeah.
That's how it's designed. But when you've got one set of asking one side and one set of asking the other side, and it looks like there's a conflict there, we need to bring that out so that we don't have a conflict. You understand where I'm coming from? And I'm just saying that it needs to be clarified more than everything be listed under Tied to Town, and you're talking about the same area and you're talking about two different sets of monies. Okay. And plus, I know that the part that they asked for in T-Splash is determining whether the voters approve it or don't approve it. All right. And I understand how we are approving what we are approving here. But clarification of getting the project started and then the cost of the project is two different things.
Yeah, implementation of this project probably will involve multiple resources, multiple sources of funds. So it might be 301 in the MPO money or the 230 of MPO money, and then the T-Splash might come, or Splash money or city's general funds will come up with the local match.
Okay. And I don't think I'm trying to shut down nobody's project, okay? But because I serve as chairman of the county and of the MPO, I get the call. It wasn't me who initiated this. The call that came to me is coming from our federal partners, okay? When we talking about using the match, all right? And so I asked the question of the preparation staff for me yesterday. They didn't have clarification, so we need to go back to the city of Savannah so they can clarify and make sure that we, just like we did with Green Island, all right? You got two different things, so we need to separate and identify what this is for and what that's for, okay? That's my only point.
Okay, yeah, we will ask the city of Savannah to outline the funding sources for different project phases for Middle Ground Road, like PE, if they get a 230 money, and how much, and the local match is from which funding source, and then the right of way and the construction from different funding sources. If it's T-SPLOST, they need to just list that out. But right now, they are only applying for the Y301 and the 230 money.
Right. My point is to make sure that the board knows that not only are we looking at these things, whether we're looking at the T-SPLOST or what we're looking at MPO is doing, but the feds are doing that too. All right. And so when they call me in question, I need to have answers for them. All right. So that's why I told them yesterday in preparations that we need to make sure that they know there's got to be some clarification. The feds don't know Green Island. The feds don't know Tide for Town. They just know what they see. Okay. So when they ask for clarification, we need to be able to provide that clarification for them. All right. And so they didn't call the MPC. They called the chairman's office as chairman of both MPO and the county. All right. So to straighten that out so that I can get back with them and give them a better answer than the one I gave them yesterday. Because the one I gave them yesterday, it don't fit the bill. And I couldn't tell them what I did not know. All right. And I tell everybody, my problem is I don't know what I don't know. But when I'm asked something, I need to clarify what I don't know. I need to clarify what I need to know. And I need you all to tell me that. So I just want to put it on point that the city of Savannah need to give you all more clarification so you can give me more clarification. Yeah. Right. Okay, that's where we are. All right.
Yeah, we will do that.
Okay. All right, we ready to move on? All right, let's go to number four. Okay, is that Jasmine?
Yes.
Okay.
The Y230 funds are surface transportation block, is the surface transportation block grant program that is administered by the Federal Highway Administration. And we, under this program, we conducted the Y230 call for projects for fiscal year 2023-2027 in August through September. So below, I will show you the applications that we received. We received 13 applications, but we deemed 12 of them eligible. The one that was ineligible was due to the threshold of funding request was not met. And the threshold is 200,000, and I believe their request was 150,000. As you can see here, here are the projects that were submitted along with the amount of funding requested. Here are the projects that we deem eligible, and you can see the one project here is for the City of Tybee Island State Route 26 US 80 over the Lazaretto Creek, I believe. Lazaretto Creek. Mm-hmm. That was the project that was considered ineligible because of the funding request. Mm-hmm. These projects also were reviewed by all committees and endorsed, and that does include the TCC. I will pull up the project rankings. Give me one moment. Mm-hmm. Oh. So here's a ranking snapshot to show how the projects are ranked. Any questions?
Any question from any board member now? All right, Mrs. Delon.
Do you have the spreadsheet as with the funding amounts?
Yes.
Thank you. Were all the projects funded for fiscal year 23 and 24? Were all the requests met?
For fiscal year 23, 24, yes. Here's the spreadsheet here with the associated fiscal years, the projects, and this spreadsheet shows the total amount requested, available, and then the balance.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Yes.
I just wanted to take some time with the spreadsheet because you're jumping around a little bit on me. We don't have control over it and it jumps. No, so I just want to see the, I see the Lazaretta Creek project ineligible. That makes sense. Doesn't hit the threshold. Can you show me the Bull River project funding, please?
Yes.
Fiscal year 24, which aligns with GDOT's schedule.
A project there?
Yes. So why does it say $1.1 million for local match?
What is it? That's what was reported by them?
It should be 20%, I think, right?
20% of the 1.4 million. That looks like the difference between the local match and that looks like the grant amount.
So it's a typographical error?
Yeah.
The total requested right away for this project, for the Bull River project, is around $1.4 million. So 80% seems like 1.186, that's the federal portion. So the local portion should be about 300.
That's yes, was my understanding, but yes, that's not what the spreadsheet says.
We need to clean up the spreadsheet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we able to go in and do that cleanup now?
Oh, we can probably do that later.
That's fine. I just wanted to be on record that the city of Tybee Island has to match about $300,000.
Yes.
Of that total cost.
Yes. I just want to let you know because we got 18 applications in total for both call for projects. And then the TCC requested they want to have additional time to review. So we actually give TCC like 3 or 4 more days to review. So that just depressed the staff to just have only one day to compile all of this. So the spreadsheets might be subject to errors, but we will clean that up.
Oh, understood.
It might be a typo.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure it's on record.
No, okay.
When I go back to my council, I'm telling them we owe $300,000 and all of a sudden the spreadsheet shows 1.1 million that there's no error, that I can explain to them what's going on.
Yeah, that's the 1.4 million is the total. So the federal portion is about 1.1.
Makes sense.
And the local is about $300,000. Yes. And then also for the Lazaretto Creek, not only that you don't need meet the threshold, but also you don't need the money because you already have HIP funds. You still have HIP funds.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Your program on that one. So you really don't need any of this money at this point.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Massiel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Question on that. If we're going to be taking an action on this and there's an error in the spreadsheet, can we, as a part of whoever makes the motion and so forth, can we specify that correction. Is there anybody that can do a calculation of what that should be so we can?
We can do with all necessary corrections. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm coming. Hold on, let me get, are we finished? All right, Mr. Nar.
Oh, I just wanted the calculation, the, of the 1483, that's the total. The 1186400 is the 80%, and then the 20% would be $296,600.
Right, but see what they got on here on the local matches, they got 1.186. And that's what he said we need to, that's what he's talking about cleaning up. And Mr. Massey is making sure that if we need a motion and second to pass this, that we make sure we know that we're cleaning it up, right?
I do have one other question though, I'm sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
Has this already been adjusted for what was awarded in the 301 funds?
Okay, I just want to mention something, because when Asia presented to you the financial balance, we actually have more requests for 301 money than the revenues allow. But in Waitosa, because some of projects like Middle Ground Road and Green Island, they applied for both. So if they cannot be covered under Y301, we actually have enough to cover them in Y230. So the recommendation from the TCC is to approve the ranking and also use the Y230 money to cover the balance if it's not enough in Y301. And for fiscal year 2023 and the 2024. And then for the later years, we will come back and revisit when we have the revenue projections from GDOT for the 2025, 2026, and 2027. So we will still use the ranking that have been done, but we will see how much that we can allocate to each project for later years. But right now we are only focused on 2023 and the 2024. So 230 and the 301 combined can cover all of the requests.
Okay. Now, is everyone clear? All right, Dr. Chavez, I see your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is in reference to under the City of Savannah project from Durant Avenue. Just kind of skipping around, kind of moving fast on that. If you can go back to it, there was a description. My question is there a particular section of the right-of-way acquisition portion? This is talking about Project Durant, am I correct?
I did ask Barry Stanton to clarify. For this call for project, city is actually requesting preliminary engineering funds, not right-of-way funds. So it seems like you have enough right-of-way funds. From both Y230 and the local match. So the right-of-way funds is about $20 million. So I was asking him, I said, are you requesting additional right-of-way funds or PE? And he said it's PE for preliminary engineering.
Okay. Is this preliminary engineering for a particular phase of Project Durant or it's just...
Preliminary engineering. City of Savannah has already got previous awards for the preliminary engineering, but because of that environmental justice analysis, additional one, right. So you probably need more time and more money to continue.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before you can get to the right-of-way phase.
So under, in the spreadsheet here, you mentioned preliminary engineering. What is under column D for right-of-way? Is that the correct?
That might be a typo as well. So just because we have such a short time to get compile all this table. So we will clean this up and then send it to you with the cleaner version after the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Let me ask this question now. The Highway 80 at Lazaretta Creek that became ineligible, you say, because it didn't meet the threshold of asking?
I think a Tybee made the mistake by applying because they already have HIP funds.
Right.
Yeah. So they just send in two applications. Actually the Bull River one is eligible because remember we reallocate the HIP funds from that project because the funds were lapsing. So we have to use that funds for other projects.
Right.
So that's why they don't have the right money. But for the Lazaretta Creek, as of now, they still have HIP funds. on it and should be able to cover. So Tybee submitted the both applications, one application by mistake.
Yeah, I think that was the case. It was just an error. Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I just didn't want it to be excluded. All right. If there was a chance to go back and redo something to get them eligible to.
There's a lot of moving pieces, Mr. Chair, and Wycota and her staff has been great kind of guiding us through and helping us when we make errors. So.
Okay. All right. I was going to make, yes, sir.
Yes, Wycota, quick question. Were all the funds eaten up for 23, 24? And if they weren't, do they just get pushed to the next year? Or how does that work?
Actually, if you see the balance, it seems like we have all those combined projects requested. We still have additional funds. We still have a positive balance because some of the projects, they are applying for funds in later years. So not all of them are applying for funds in 2023 and the 2024. So like a Girard Avenue on Chevers Road. So the construction probably will be in later years. So not request any funds in 2023 and the 2024.
So the remaining funds can be pushed to the next fiscal year? Is that like we're not going to lose the money because we didn't apply them this year?
If you see the balance over here, see we have $6 million. What happens is the $6 million GDOT will allocate them to later years, but previously it will be carried over to, if it's $6 million in 2023, it'll be carried over to 2024. But the GDOT changed the policy several years ago, so they will allocate those to later years. So you might have $1 million in 2024, $2 million in 2025. So we don't know because it's a black box to us. It's in the GDOT Office of Financial Management. So that's why we were saying when we started a new TIP development, Radney's office will provide us with the revenue projections, new revenue projections for those years. And that will include those funds that not spent in previous years.
All right, let me ask a question then, based upon what he said. Is the door closed that we can't adjust any of this?
We can't adjust any of this.
We can?
Yeah, we can.
We can add. All right, since you've already qualified projects and made them eligible or ineligible?
The reason we are doing the call for project for 5 years this time is to build a waiting list.
Right.
So if any of those projects cannot use the money, so the next one on the waiting list can use it, and we don't have to do another call for project because call for project takes, I mean, when did we start? We started in April.
Right.
And we are still talking about it, and the TIP amendment will be made in December. So it's a long process. So the reason that we did this time for 5 years is that we have the waiting list to build up. So for example, if one of those projects cannot make it, the next one on the waiting list can be, I mean, which just goes through one meeting process. TCC recommends, the MPO approves, and then we can just do the TIP amendment. So we don't have to go through this call for project again.
Okay.
That's the purpose.
But I want to make sure they understood that, see, because you all told me that yesterday. All right, so I got it. But I want to make sure the board members know, all right, so that you don't think the money is going to run away if you don't use it.
Yeah.
And then if there's a chance for it to lapse, we want to make sure we do what we're supposed to do so it don't lapse, because I don't want no money going back. I don't want us to miss no opportunities to get no money and no projects nowhere. All right. That's my point for saying it. Okay. All right. Any other? All right. So now I may have a motion to approve. With the necessary. Yeah. They don't clean up the spreadsheet with the necessary corrections. All right. That's the motion.
I'll second.
All right, properly motion and second that we adopt a report with the necessary corrections that need to be made. Are you ready for the question? Any question? Hearing none, please cast your votes, beginning with your name and move along.
Chairman, I'm sorry, this is Faye DeMassimo. Can we specify, instead of just saying all necessary corrections, just for the record, can we say what those corrections are? Don't have to give the amount today, but can we say these are the things that will be corrected, just so it's clear for the record?
All right.
Thank you, sir.
The two corrections that we're talking about is under the city of Savannah, they need to remove under category D right away. Am I correct? And then go up to Tybee. All right, at Bull River, and correct the local match from being, it says here 1.186 million. We need to correct that to
296,600.
$200, all right.
$296,600.
All right, specify the number so that she can put them in the record. All right, now, are there any other corrections that need to come? All right.
I think the numbers need to be adjusted back for the 301 also.
Okay, for the 301. Okay. Right. Okay, now we can vote. State your name and your vote.
Josh Beck, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Bradney Simpson, yes.
Faye DeMasmo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
Bob Miley, yes.
All right. We good? Thank you. All right, now we're at other business. Not correct on the agenda. There are any other business that need to come? Anybody, we have anything from the staff? Hearing none, I'm going to status reports. All right, and we're going to have the update.
Okay, I will give the presentation very shortly, and then Sally and Asia will cover the details. For the 2050 MTV update, we officially kicked off on September the 1st by distributing the survey, starting the survey. We are using the survey results to update the goals, objectives, and performance measures. Asia will show you the survey results shortly. For the socioeconomic data development, we completed the base year, 2020 year, socioeconomic data and submitted to GDOT, and GDOT is okay with that. The next step is to develop the horizon year 2050 SE data. Our planner, previous planner, Kate, left. So we are trying to figure out who is going to develop the horizon year. So I'm going to meet with Melanie and the SAGES, and also consulted with GDOT whether we can use their consultant to develop the horizon year. So we're still in the negotiation process right now. And then for the travel demand model development, and I reported to you that Asia has finished checking the links, the model links for Effingham County and Bryan County. So we will continue with Effingham, with Chatham County. And then we submitted the first network and second network project lists to GDOT, and we're compiling the third list. The first and second list would be the projects that started construction or completed between 2015 and 2022. And then there are several projects ongoing. We have urban flooding model, which will feed into our plan for resiliency planning. And we have freight plan development, which will feed into the 2050 plan as well. And the Puller has the US 80 corridor study. CAT started two project transit master plan and the TDP. Those projects will be incorporated when they have the findings, they will be incorporated into the 2050 as well for the transit section. So we have a long range and short range projects. And we are also updating the non-motorized transportation plan. So we probably will have a set aside in the 2050 plan. And then the projects will come from the non-motorized transportation plan because it will have a prioritized project list. And then I cover that, and I will leave the fun stuff to Sally and Asia because they have been doing the public engagement. Okay.
That's the fun stuff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So for the public, I'll cover the public outreach part and just give a brief of what we've been doing with that. And then Asia will kind of give a little more explanation on with the surveys and things. So for the public engagement for our first round of public meetings, we've done right around 40 meetings already, just 40 different presentations in just this short time in about maybe 5-6 weeks. We have launched a social media outreach with Facebook and Instagram. And in that, so far in just that short amount of time, we've got over 100 followers on Instagram. We've reached over 3,500 people with our Facebook. We have been featured with the local news, with WTOC, with CAT social media. They've been wonderful in helping us with that. The City of Savannah website, Chatham County's website. We were featured in Pooler's community website, the Savannah Agenda. Port Wentworth has featured us on their social media as well. There's been a lot of great public interaction with the different agencies as far as sharing our agendas, and we do the likewise with them. We do have a QR code developed, which helps especially with the younger crowd. In looking into our surveys that we've launched, and there's a lot of surveys, so everybody kind of struggles getting people to fill surveys out to take the time. But in looking at that, we kind of use that as a guide to see who has filled out what and where in our communities that we're lacking as far as with our public outreach. So we've tried to spend a little bit more time and recover the gaps that we found with the surveys. And at one point, a few weeks back, we found some gaps with our younger age group. And since then, Wycota went out and presented at Savannah Arts Academy, had a fabulous turnout, some great interaction there with the younger group. We had, even though we hit a lot of our, tried to hit some of our EJ communities, we did find a gap in there as well. So we are circling back around and hitting those communities again. We do our in talks with communication with the Harambe House, so we're hoping that helps us, you know, circle back with that as well. We've hit several neighborhood communities, as many of the neighborhood meetings that we could get, city councils. We went to Effingham, Richmond Hill, Garden City, Rincon. We presented everywhere that we could. There was a gap we found with the elderly community and the disabled. We have circled back around with that. Asia did a great participation presentation with LIFE, and then with the county with Lizanne's, what group was that?
Oh, CGIC.
Yes, CGIC. Great interaction with that as well. So we're still looking, keeping up with our surveys to see what communities we need to go back and hit. We have developed some really cute coloring pages for our younger children so that when we go out and do, just as we did the whole park event and the 100% Savannah, we were able to do that event as well. Something for the younger children so that we could speak to the adults. We won't look at it as a lure to get the little ones in to get the adults, but those have been a great hit with the coloring pages. We've had brochures go out, we've had flyers go out, we've had surveys go out. So that's kind of what's going on with our public outreach. We will have a second round. We will focus again on those gaps, covering those gaps. They are getting better as we've circled back around. So that's just a part. The girls have worked incredibly hard meeting. It's almost every day they've had a presentation somewhere with somebody. So, and a lot of you have helped pass out flyers and stuff when you've gone to your meetings and things. So we do appreciate that as well. So any feedback that you can have, because we're going to have a second and a third round, we can add that too, so that we include everybody, because the future, our kids are who need to speak to us now, because this 2050 plan is about them. So if there's any suggestions that you have, we will take those as well. But I'll let Asia tag in and let you know about the survey and how that's going.
Thank you, Sally. I'm just going to pull up the presentation and go over some of our survey results really quickly. Just going to skip through here. Okay. So this slide is actually a little bit outdated because now we are getting close to 400 total survey responses. So the 2050 MTP survey has been live since September 1st, and it is available in four languages. Those languages are English, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. And this survey covers a multitude of multimodal topics, such as roadways, bicycling, pedestrians, public transportation, equity, and resilience. So I'm just going to go into some of the preliminary survey results. Again, this is not final. The survey still has some time, so more people can take the survey and these results may change, but this is just what we're seeing right now. And then again, we want this survey to be as representative as possible. We want all of the community to be represented, just as Sally said, across age groups. We want input to be diverse, and we want people of all incomes to give input on this survey. In terms of where people are from, in terms of taking the survey, the majority of people who have taken the survey live in this zip code, 31405. And then the second place is 31401. And then third place is 31419 and 31407. So if you do not see your zip code up here, go out to your community possibly and pass out the survey, and maybe it can be top three. Again, we want as much coverage as possible. Additionally, the majority of people who have taken the survey drive a personal vehicle, which is not a surprising result, as the majority of people in Savannah and really the country do drive a vehicle as their primary mode of transportation. But we do want some more input from people that are walking or bicycling, just because Savannah specifically has a higher percentage of people that walk and bike compared to other cities within Georgia. So we definitely want them represented as well. We also want our survey responders to be diverse, because the Savannah area is also diverse. So we are definitely working to get more input from all people across multiple racial groups. In terms of age group, the age group most likely to respond to the survey is between 45 and 64. Very few young people have taken a survey. However, Wycota did go to a high school event, and we finally got some people that were actually under the age of 16 that took the survey. So that was really great, because it's extremely hard to get high school students to take any survey. And then we also increased input among people that are 65 and older, just because we want their transportation needs to be represented as well. In terms of household income, the majority of people that have taken the survey have a household income of $100,000 or more, and few people that make less than $25,000 have taken the survey. And then again, we are working to increase these numbers, and these numbers are not final, and hopefully in the future we'll have a more equitable distribution of incomes and diversity when the survey comes to a close. So the soft deadline was October 31st, but again, this survey is extending into November. So there's still an opportunity to go out and take the survey. And this survey is important, as Wycota said. It impacts the goals and objectives in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So just going into some of the more specific things that we saw in terms of survey answers. So in general, respondents want to maintain and repair our roadways, infrastructure, and facilities. So this one was an extremely popular answer. So compared to other forms of transportation improvements, repairing what already exists was the most important. There is a significant interest in local rail service and public transportation. And I just wanted to highlight these two answer choices, because the majority of people that took the survey drive their own car or own their own vehicle. And despite that, there's still a heavy interest in having some type of robust public transportation and even passenger rail service. And then even when we're having our in-person events, people are bringing up passenger rail and increased public transportation service. Most respondents want bike lanes that are protected by a barrier and a greenway that supports multiple modes of non-motorized transportation. And I just wanted to highlight this, because most of our bike infrastructure is typically not protected or separated from the road. A lot of the time it's a share road where you're sharing the road with a vehicle, or it's a painted strip where you ride within that painted strip. But it seems that people want something that's a little bit more secure from vehicle traffic. 67% of respondents prioritize this resilience objective, and that is to increase green and nature-based infrastructure and transportation projects to reduce flooding and heat stress and improve the health of the environment. And 74% of respondents prioritize this equity objective, and it is to identify and target high-need population areas where transit investment should be prioritized. And this result here is interesting because it was the most popular answer choice among all of the answer choices on this survey. So most people want this form of equity in their community. There wasn't a whole lot of splitting on this. Most people were interested in having targeting high need populations for investment. And that's the end of this portion of the presentation. The full presentation is posted on the agenda if you just want more information, but we just wanted to report on that small piece of the public survey.
Any questions from any board members? Hearing none, thank you. Ready to move on? We're going to the regional freight transportation.
Okay, for the freight plan update, the consultant is making great progress. They did a presentation at the ADFAC committee meeting. And the presentation file includes a lot of information. So we are doing the current conditions, evaluation, and regional freight profile, and truck parking, economic development assessment. So actually, a lot of this information, I just want to let you know, very, very good information. So we did the inventory, bridge inventory, at grade crossings, pavement conditions. So a lot of information over here. And also several, I just want to let you know that several deliverables are already posted on the CornPU website, the freight plan update website. And if you are a technical person, you will really, really enjoy reading those. And because it's tremendous information over there. So we're making progress. The next presentation will be in February and you will see more information.
Well, any questions from any board members? All right, let us go to the urban flood model.
Hello again. As you all know, the core MPO was awarded discretionary planning funds for the flood model study. The University of Georgia was the selected consultant for this project. Core MPO received a notice to proceed June 21, 2022, and the kickoff of this project started in early August. So far, the project management plan has been presented, as well as UGA provided a presentation to the TCC committee, as well as some of the steering committee stakeholders that are a part of this project. If you would like to review or see what was presented, it is now, you can now find it on the core MPO page. And those are all of the updates that I currently have on this study.
Any questions? Thank you, ma'am. Non-motorized.
Okay, so in addition to updating the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, Core MPO is also updating the Non-Motorized Transportation Plan and Thoroughfare Plan. And these are documents that specifically address bike and pedestrian needs. So the plan update steering committee met September 15th via Zoom. And during that meeting, committee members identified several roads and areas that should be added to the non-motorized plan. These roads include Middle Ground Road, areas around school facilities, Abercorn Street, Montgomery Crossroads, Cottonville Road, and Dutchtown Road, just to name a few. And staff in the future will continue to compile a list of problem and opportunity areas to add to the plan, and then also use data such as pedestrian and bike accident data on New Metric, population data on the American Community Survey, and infrastructure data from GIS to create a comprehensive assessment of the non-motorized infrastructure environment in the area. Once a larger list of projects and problem areas is curated, staff will seek public input to better prioritize those projects. And again, this the non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan updates are expected to be completed in June of 2023.
All right, any questions? Yes, I see Commissioner Milton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, are these projects underway right now?
I believe not. I believe none of these projects are underway.
But you expect for them to be completed by 2023?
So these projects will not be completed by 2023, but the plan will. So these projects are just added for, they're going to be included in our long-range transportation plans. So we're adding it into our non-motorized transportation plan that these are some areas that need to be updated as projects. And then those projects will be included into our long-range transportation documents like the Metropolitan Transportation Plan.
So will this work begin at any point?
At any point this year? I believe not.
And, okay. Thank you.
Let me help get with Commissioner. I think Commissioner Milton trying to go for you, especially when it does the Cartonville. All right. The residents of Cartonville need to get with MPO staff and get into the surveys and the other desires for that. All right. So I would say as a commissioner, reach out to the residents in those areas, and especially if you represent, like for instance, Middle Ground Road, I would say to Alderwoman Shabazz, all right? I know Cottonville will be yours, Montgomery Crossroad will be hers, Dutchtown Road probably will come in six, if I'm right, okay?
Yes, sir.
And what we need for them to do is, while they're doing the studies and while they're doing all of the legwork, these were not included in the first, all right? So they're adding these on, but you need to get the residents out there to get with them to do the surveys and to do the studies, because as I say to everybody I run into, I don't live in your neighborhood, so I don't know what the problems are. But if you don't tell me, then I won't know. See, and that's what I'm saying about this. This is in the studying form and putting it in the phase where they can have comments and things. So we've got to do a job of getting them to connect with the staff so that the staff can get their views. You may even want to schedule a town hall meeting so AGNOs can come and bring you the kind of information that they're talking about, so that people, it might be that take the surveys to the study and then let them make a presentation and let the people do the surveys. Mm-hmm. See, those are the kind of things that we're talking about, but now that it's coming up now, all this is being done, and what they're trying to do is get the study over by 2023. Am I correct?
The plan will be adopted in 2023.
Right. See, so you don't want the plan adopted without the study being a part of it. See, and so the only way to do that is to get them engaged with the MPO staff, and I'm talking about the residents that you represent. Get them engaged by doing the survey. They can go on the website and do it.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman, for clarifying that. And also, I just want to mention that in previous years, we did call for project, and somebody, mm-hmm. some residents learned it from somewhere, and then they suddenly wanted the project to be included, and they want to apply for the funds, and they are not eligible. So because for one thing, your project is not included in our plan, and that's prerequisite. So it has to be included in our plan. So this is the opportunity. If you identify the project and the county or the city have the intention to implement the project, you want to make sure that your project is included in our plan. So like the Green Island Trail project that we talked about, because we have to make sure it's inconsistent in the non-motorized transportation plan before Chatham County can receive either Y230 or Y301 funds. So the Cottonville Road, I think that's probably unincorporated Chatham County. So yeah, so if Chatham County Engineering Department wants to pursue that sidewalk and crosswalk improvement project, and you want to apply for the MPO dollars, the federal dollars, you want to make sure this project is included in our non-motorized transportation plan. So it just, we are laying the groundwork for you so that whatever project that you want to pursue federal dollars is included in our plan. So that's the purpose.
Okay. All right.
Just for staff, help me. You've got this plan that you're updating. How does it, you know, kind of mesh with the to tie to town plan?
I don't think the Cottonville Road is the tie to town. It's connected to tie to town. Yeah. Tied to town, as you can see, is a trail system. So it doesn't.
I guess my question, is there any overlap? Because you have the tie to town that's supposed, you know, kind of expand out everywhere, and your non-motorized plan. So is there any overlap?
The tied to town, the whole segments will be included in the non-motorized transportation plan.
Okay.
So in the future, if the Chatham County or City of Savannah wants to implement a segment of it, because we don't have money to implement all of them altogether. So if you have, if you want to implement the one segment of it, and it's already included in the non-motorized transportation plan.
So the tied town will be folded into this plan?
The tied to town, the whole segments from tied to town, yes, will be, yes.
Which means that they're probably going to have to expand the tied to town, because it does not hit certain parts of the unincorporated Chatham. And then I think that's where the manager is getting to. It's just like when we go back to the front, forget about the tied to town part, but when you go back to the slide that Asia was on last, where Montgomery Crossroad and Abercorn and Cottonvale and Dutchtown Road, all right, all of a sudden now those are in. There are some things that need to be added to tied to town, okay? Because if you're going to use tax dollars, and let me say this to all of us now, this says core MPO, all right? So we're talking about more than one county.
Yes.
Involved in this. So the rest of you can't sit here and let just Chatham County and Savannah do everything, and then you get missed out, because you're going to miss out on federal dollars, all right? So what we're trying to do is in the 2050 plan, make sure it's everybody included in that who is a part of MPO, because the money is going to come through MPO. You got to have a governmental fund. So the money is going to come to the county through MPO. But if your particular projects in your particular area is not included, see, like, just like these were not included, we've got to do surveys, and we've got to do, because once that plan is adopted, and then you try to go get money, they'll tell you you're not eligible because you're not in the plan. Am I correct in what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I think currently Effingham County, even if they have needs, they want to pursue the federal dollars, but they cannot because they are not included in our area. I mean, at least the project area is not within the Corn Pio planning boundary.
Right.
So they cannot use the federal dollars. But on the other hand, like Richmond Hill, because they are in the MPO planning area boundary, and now they applied for the sidewalk project, Ivory Road. So they are eligible, so they can use the federal dollars. I think when we were doing our presentations, Asia, Jasmine, and myself, we go outside to talk to the city councils. I think the Rincon, Effingham County, Richmond Hill, they all understand it now. Mm-hmm. So now Rincon and the Effingham County are very, very eager to have another voting seat on our board, because now they understand what the MPO is and what the MPO can do, how the MPO can help them, and they understand it more.
Right. And so even at that, there are parts of Chatham County who is not in the understanding part that they need to be a part of, and things are developing around us real quick, all right, and in a hurry. And what I'm saying is, in some kind of cases, we're going to have to slow some stuff down, because folks don't have the knowledge of what MPO does, all right? And so they need to know that the avenue for them to get to the federal is through MPO. And so I'm talking about the ones who are a part of core MPO. All right.
I think they understand more now. I think because Pooler did the Coffer project, applied for the Coffer project for Pooler Parkway before.
Right.
But unfortunately, that project is not included in the 2050 or 2045 plan. So we cannot spend the federal dollars. So now it seems like when you talk about money, people understand more. If people understand more, and they will participate more,
yeah,
and then they will benefit more as well.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Wait, I'm coming. Hold on. I'm coming. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Radney Simpson. I'm with the Georgia DOT planning team. Wakota, I appreciate you talking about the eligibility of federal dollars for areas outside of the core MPO region. those areas that are outside of the core MPO region, they are able to get federal dollars, but not the federal dollars that come specifically to
the MPO, yes.
The core MPOs, yes. Such as Y230 mm-hmm. or Y301. So I wanted to help our friends outside of the core MPO region understand that federal dollars are available to them. They simply don't go through the core MPO planning process.
Yeah, they go to GDOT and directly apply for the funds from GDOT, and then they compete with all the other areas within the state.
Or they'll go to the coastal region up there. Yeah, I got you. All right. Now, I heard from Shabazz.
Yes, sir. Shabazz. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank you for mentioning the expansion of Tie to Town more over on the west side of the county, which is so important. And there has not been a lot of talk or even inclusion with Tie to Town. So the outreach is good. And with you mentioning this, Mr. Chairman, you said a mouthful. Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, listen, it's like the airplane. Your flight got a time and a destination. And if you don't be on time, you don't get to your destination. That's the same thing applies here. All right. If you don't mind me using that analogy, right? The plane is about to take off. And if the plane is adopted in June or July of next year, and you're not in the plan, then you're going to have to wait till it come back around. And we're talking about 2050. So we're trying to make sure we catch everybody that needs to be in there. And AJ, I'm going to get with you because I got some ideas of how we can do our EJs. All right. We need better participation from our EJs. And sometimes you have to explain to people what you mean by EJs. All right. Just go ahead and explain what we mean by EJs. When you say that.
So by EJ communities, we mean those communities that are underserved due to either language, race, or disability, or age. That's so just a few, but there are other.
I just want you to spell that out because I know there's some folks sitting up here. I've got some ideas of how we can boost our numbers because we do need to get better participation from that. All right. So I'm going to be talking to some of the board members on how we're going to do that. All right. Especially because this is also tied to our transportation and CAT, all right? And so we need to make sure that those folks are included because they feel right now that they're not included. Mm-hmm. And what we give the opportunity for when we don't include them, and we don't go out and tell them, somebody else go out and tell them, right? And as a parent, I know, and I'm gonna use this analogy, I did not want my kids being taught by the streets because there's a whole lot of misinformation in the streets. All right. So I had to do what? Teach them at home. The same thing applies here. If we don't tell the story, if we don't get them involved, misinformation get out there, and then you got a whole nother ball of wax you got to deal with. All right. So that's why I'm putting that to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. And I just want to mention, we also have a comment map survey that's ongoing where you can drop a pin. It's open to anyone within the core MPO area. So regular citizens can drop a pin on problem or opportunity areas or any people that work within Chatham County or work within government or even on this board can drop a pin. And that might be an easier and better way to get like a larger list of projects that have more coverage over the core MPO area is to use that comment map survey. And then I can send a link to everyone of that comment map survey as well.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from? Thank you. All right, let us now go on to USAID's project status report.
I don't think anybody is here representing Pooler. They did send in a report, so it's attached to your agenda for your review of an update of that project. Is there anybody here?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Hutcherson from Pooler. Looking at this status report, if you could roll up to project schedule, which is the next page, that has a list of all the activities, and there's 8 activities to this project. You will note that we've completed 4 of those activities, and we're now in the process of analyzing existing conditions report That's where we are now. We do expect the project to meet the deadline of September 2023, and that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to the discretionary funds. Am I on page with that?
Okay, I would just talk about this very quickly because at last meeting, you authorized the staff to apply for the PL discretion funds on behalf of Chatham County and City of Savannah. We actually applied for the funds for three studies. One is the City of Savannah's I-16 exit ramp removal IMR update, and the two for Chatham County. One is for the US-17 corridor study, and then the other one is for the Preston Street Railroad crossing feasibility study. But unfortunately, Georgia PL Funds Review Committee denied all of our requests, so we are not going to receive any of those PL discretionary funds for any of those studies. The good news is that Chatham County actually got Y-230 funds to conduct the US-17 corridor study and the Preston Street Railroad crossing feasibility study due to the call for project. And the City of Savannah is applying for reconnecting communities grant funds from the Georgia DOT. So hopefully they will get it, and then the city and the county can both just go ahead with the studies.
Okay. Any questions? All right, let's move right along. We're going to the informational part. GDOT's.
Katie, are you on?
Yes, sorry, I just lost my mic. Okay, for pre-construction, the Port Wentworth Bridge replacements over Savannah River and Middle River on State Route 25. Final plan design is ongoing. Safety improvement project on State Route 204 from 21 to Rio Road. Ongoing design is in progress, working toward PFPR. Safety improvements on I-16 at Chatham Parkway. Holding for let in June 2023, allowing for the bridge jacking project completion. The widening and bridge replacement on State Route 404, spur US-17 from northeast of Savannah Harbor Parkway to Back River. The next milestone is concept submittal. Bridge replacement at Bull River continues toward environmental dock approval. Bridge replacement over Lazaretto Creek is working toward right-of-way authorization. State Route 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive, working toward final plan submission on schedule for January 2023 let. State Route 30 roundabout at Hodgeville Road held kickoff meeting in September. Concept is underway. And for that active projects, they're all increasing in percentage complete. Is there any questions?
Any questions from any board members? Okay.
Good morning again. Just to start with the pre-construction federally funded projects, Girard Avenue, the third one down, we have our public information open house tomorrow night, which is November 3rd, Thursday. It'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Liberty City Center. So we're hoping we get lots of participation. And the layouts and the handout information are on the website now. Other projects, Little Neck Road, right-of-way acquisition is underway. Wall Tower Road slope stabilization, the right-of-way acquisition is complete, so we're hoping to move on to bid that project soon. And then moving down to the construction projects, all of them are now substantially complete. The McCorkle Trail upgrades are complete. Resurfacing and Delaney Road are both substantially complete. That's all. Does anyone have any questions about any projects?
All right, from Chatham County. All right, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did get a report back from GDOT on the 204 study, and the residents from Grove Hill and that area are still requesting a meeting with GDOT. They are not very happy with the recommendations that were made from the study. So I don't know how we can, if we can make it happen. I'd just like to have the neighborhood meeting with those residents to give them a better understanding of why the recommendation was made and how we can, at least to give them an opportunity to have some kind of input.
Okay, Radney, do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Panther.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. So I've reached out again to the District 5 traffic operations, as well as the District 5 area engineer, requesting that they would hold some sort of POH. They're targeting that this will be a quick response project, which doesn't typically meet their thresholds. So if they don't do it, Chatham County Department of Engineering staff is willing to hold that meeting.
So you will. Okay.
We will. I just don't, I'm trying to get them to partner with us and come to
because that. You would need to answer questions that they would need to be in control of. Is that correct?
We would present the options and at least give a venue where we could collect comments and then forward those on to the department for consideration.
So then you and I get together and set up a meeting. Good deal. Thank you so much.
But just that, so before we do that, we need the layouts, and that's something they're starting to work on now. So that's kind of what we're waiting on. I know people have asked that we need to do this immediately, but I need something to show them before we go out and present that and discuss it with them.
So. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, any others? Okay, ready to go to City of Savannah?
Michelle called me before the meeting. All three city staff members have conflict, but they actually provided this. So she gave me a quick update. So the Lesseps Avenue right-of-way clearing is completed. They're doing the utility relocation. Traffic Control Center, it says procurement process underway, and she told me, she said the pre-bid is tomorrow. City of Savannah, they're still working on the environmental justice, and the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B is in the right-of-way acquisition phase. So those are the City of Savannah projects.
All right.
On the mayor's online? Michelle's online as well? Okay. She called me, she said. She asked me to.
All right. Can we pipe them in?
Okay, Michelle, do you have additional information?
So the traffic control center, it's the pre-con tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. A little bit out of pocket, but that was the update I was prepared to give. So that will conclude our report.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Chatham Area Transit status report.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is William Sedgwick. I'll be presenting on behalf of CAP. For our ferry purchase, our construction invitation for bids closed at the end of October and is currently under evaluation and procurement. For our paratransit vehicles, the order is still on hold due to logistical issues in the supply chain, which has led to a chassis shortage. For the diesel bus replacements, where the order was placed in December 21, the estimated delivery date is by June 2023. The ITS software has been installed and completed on all of our ferry vessels and across our system. For the ferry boat and maintenance facility and ferry dock, we are continuing our coordination with the FTA on this grant execution. For the electric bus replacement, this bus placed in April 22. One electric bus is on the order for delivery currently with an estimated delivery date for June 2024. For our master transit plan and implementation stages, we have had our first successful kickoff special event where we engaged the public and other stakeholders that was very well attended by the public along with members of the MPO staff that were also in attendance. And finally, for our TDP and COA, it is currently now under phase two, which is our data analysis phase.
All right, any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Let's go to Savannah International Airport.
Good
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couple projects going on. Southwest Drainage Improvement Project complete. Some fencing, seating, minor punch list items. Hope to wrap that up this week. Rental car improvement, again, just like the buses, everything long lead items. We're waiting on fencing. We're waiting on roofing. We're waiting on sensors for the Door King stuff. It's been a long haul. We're trying to get this done, at least open somewhat by Thanksgiving, could be longer. We opened bids a couple months ago for a security checkpoint expansion. You know, customer service is a big thing at the airport. We're expanding our security checkpoint to 6 lanes, which will be a big improvement. And the demo car cargo project was bid out, and that is currently, they're starting to mobilize for that project. This project will redevelop the southeast quadrant of our airport. It's a domino after the drainage project. So there's a lot going on at the airport. Any questions?
All right, any questions? Thank you. All right, let's move on to our next.
I don't think Stephanie's not online, so here is a update that she's attached on here for anybody to look to read.
Okay, any questions? Let's go on to TIP. Tracking status update?
Yes, sir. Everything is documented here. You can't see it very well, but everybody did put their reports in. So we're still good as far as people participating and getting their information in when asked, to keep track of the funding and make sure everything's on track.
Okay. All right, do we have public comments? None? All right. Our next core MPO board meeting will be December the 14th. At 10 a.m. And since I got to give up my birthday to be at, y'all bring the cake and stuff in here with me. Okay. On the 14th, I'll be here, but y'all bring the birthday stuff with you because that's my birthday. All right. Just grinning. All right. The grants opportunities. We have something on there?
Yeah, it just. The new funding, new transportation funding legislation, they just throw out all these funding opportunities. So I think this is thriving communities, probably, if the city of Savannah or Chatham County or any of our municipalities are interested, to just visit their website and start the funding application. Because for the IJA, the bipartisan infrastructure law, they have about 76%. Formula funds and the 24% discretionary funds. So for all the discretionary funds, they just threw out the notice of funding opportunities, and then the local, they opened up not only to the MPOs but also to the local municipalities. So as the MPO, we just try to, as soon as we know the funding opportunities, we just pass them along to our local municipalities so that you can apply for the funds if you're interested.
Okay. Anything else that need to come before the board? And they have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
In a second. All those questions, please cast your votes. Name?
Shabazz, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Bradner Simpson, yes.
Fady Massimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Jim Ayala, yes.
All right, Mr. Hutchinson, thank you all for attending, and this meeting is adjourned.